Oh, these Jesus healing stories, they're so beautiful, but they're also troubling. Because it's wonderful and miraculous to hear about someone being healed, but it's not something that most of us experience in real life, this pastor included. And these healing stories can leave us feeling that there's something wrong with us, that we are not praying enough, and so our problems and our struggles and our pain and our suffering must be our fault, right? That there's guilt and shame attached to them. We must be struggling because we did not pray enough. We aren't good enough. And what happens when we ask Jesus for help and nothing changes? We wait and wait and wait, like this dingy waiting room on our bulletin cover, right? I mean, it's about as sad as it can get. We've even got, like, a sad Happy New Year, like, decorating. It's just, we've all been there, right? We wait and wait and wait for relief to show up, for healing to come. And Jesus, where are you in the midst of all of this? The people in today's story were also waiting. First, we hear about this desperate papa, Jairus, the local synagogue leader, and his 12-year-old daughter is dying. And when he sees Jesus, he falls at his feet in desperation and repeatedly begs him, please come and heal my daughter. I know you can do something. And so Jesus says, okay. And while they're on their way, we get this interruption, a whole nother story. And now Jairus has to wait some more while Jesus deals with this. And as the crowds are pressing upon Jesus and the disciples, this woman reaches out and touches Jesus' clothes. And this woman has also been waiting 12 years. 12 years of doctor's appointments and home remedies, and nothing has worked. She is still bleeding. 12 years. And 12 years is a long time. I can tell you this from personal experience because today happens to be my 12-year wedding anniversary, which is just wild to think about. And tomorrow is my 12-year ordination anniversary, which means 12 years of pastoring. And I've got the gray hairs to prove it. But 12 years! A lot can happen in 12 years. And I think about for this woman, I can only imagine for these last 12 years, she has measured these not just by the years, but by the hour and the minute. All the pain and discomfort, the investment of all of her finances, the loss of friends and family while in isolation, the lost hope, and this endless waiting. And so she reaches out to touch his clothes, and she's instantly healed. She can feel it. And then we're taken back to Jairus' story, where they go to his house, and now they've waited too long. For time has run out, and his daughter has died, and the mourners have loudly set up camp. And yet Jesus says it's never too late. She's just sleeping. And even though he's laughed at, he, a few disciples, and the parents go up to her room. He touches her and tells her to get up, and she does. And she eats something, because that's the sign in a biblical healing story that she's really alive. You know, you're really alive when you eat something. In the midst of these two healings, Jesus says some interesting things. To Jairus and the crowd, he says, do not fear, only believe. And we hear do not fear a lot, right? Like, but there's also some guilt here, right? Like, oh, I can't be who I am. And yet, New Testament professor James Boyce states that this is actually a mistranslation. Because do not fear, if the command is to do not fear, then it's already too late. And it doesn't actually address what's happening or the reality. The problem is we are already consumed by fear. And the prospect of faith can feel really far away and distant. And so he suggests that we should translate it something like, stop being afraid. and go on living by faith. For the present tense of both of these verbs call to attention the transforming power of Jesus' word to change our lives from fear to trust. And it's a transformation that we can't do on our own, but God helps us in this. That there's new life and salvation in a completely new dimension. And this is actually what happens to this woman that's sandwiched in between Jairus' story. For she has had enough waiting. She's tired of being afraid, and she knew what Jesus was capable of, and so she didn't hesitate to reach out and touch his clothes, reaching out in faith, knowing that she would be healed. And what's goofy about it is when she does it, Jesus notices. And when he asks who touches him, the disciples think he's crazy. He's like, we're in a big crowd. Everyone is touching you. But she knows she needs to stand up. And so she does. She admits she's still afraid. She's fearful and trembling. But she admits it, that it was her, expecting shame and rebuke from Jesus. But this is not what he does. He affirms her faith and welcomes her back into the community, saying, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Fear and trust, waiting and wholeness that's within reach. This is what most of the healing stories in our Gospels are actually about. And this woman and Jairus' daughter are no exception. In both of these stories, Jesus publicly and privately breaks boundaries and invites people to be seen, be touched, and acknowledged. By letting go of their fear, they are embraced by a God who loves them, who has always loved them, and will never stop loving them. While hardship and illness and another week of bad headlines would convince us that we must be afraid, that we must wait and be alone, that we are stuck in this holding, forever waiting pattern, and we are powerless to do anything, the heart of the gospel reminds us of the opposite. For as we wait, we do not wait alone. As we do not wait as people of despair without hope. For the promise of the psalmist today and Lamentations is that we can share what we are afraid of. We can name these things that we struggle with. And we know that the promise of God means that joy will come. It may feel like we are waiting forever. We are asked to trust this slow as molasses work of God. But as we wait, we can trust that God sees us. God hears us, and that we are loved as we are. And being reminded by this story, we are invited to live in faith and act as if God is already working, that the kingdom is already here, and that healing is just around the corner for us all. Now, this story triggers so many things, right? It brings to mind so many I know that are waiting and waiting and waiting. And it also reminds me to pay attention to who is interrupting, who is breaking through my day, and how I can be present to the needs right around me and make the world a little more bearable as we all wait for God to show up. And this week, I was interrupted by several neighbors who were calling and asking for rental assistance or help with groceries. Some of you may know I have this pastor's discretionary fund, and thanks to our large gift policy, every time we get a bigger gift, like we tithe 10% of that out for benevolence, and so that's where our partner in faith grant comes from. We're giving away $60,000 this summer to various nonprofits. They're filling in their grant applications. The deadline's today, so hopefully we've gotten like six in. I think we're going to get a lot in at like 11:59 tonight. But some of the money from this like 10% fund, the council moves into my discretionary fund, which is great. And so I've been able to help when requests come up. And yet what I've noticed this year is every time the council moves funds into this account, by the time the next council meeting comes, like a month later, the fund is empty. Empty. The needs just seem to be so great. And as I hear these stories and I'm able to help from time to time, I'm just really struck by how impossibly hard it is to be working poor in Arlington. These are folks that are working, they may be connected with some social services, but they just aren't making enough. And perhaps it's shrinkflation or flat wages or the high cost of housing and medical care. It's just such an ugly combination when you're on the edge. And some days, saying yes to these requests just feels like a drop in the bucket. I can help you today, but what does that mean for tomorrow? It feels like, I know we have to work for this bigger system change, right? And yet I also wonder, perhaps these little bucket-type things is what the church has always been called to. These interruptions. The needs right in front of us for today, right now. How can we move from being in this place of fear to leaning into faith, trusting that God's going to show up and give us what we need for this moment, for today? And so, dear ones, I have something for you to do. I want you to pull out your bulletin cover and look at this dingy waiting room one more time. And there are a few pencils and pens around you if you are an artist. If you are like, I want you to draw two people into those chairs. They could be stick figures. And as you do that, you can reflect. One of those people sitting in the chairs could be you, right? Maybe you are in this place of waiting and frustration and struggle. And so the person next to you is Jesus. He's there listening, waiting. He's not waiting. He's waiting with you as you struggle. He's here for you. Or perhaps that second person sitting in the chair is someone that's been interrupting you in your life. Or someone that you need to pay a little closer attention to. Someone who is in need of some hope. And perhaps you can get them a cup of coffee or a terrible snack from the vending machine or a grocery card or a hug or a listening ear. Who are those people in your life that need you right now in this moment? And the great thing about art is, you know, beautiful art and kind of sad, dingy waiting room art is it does something to us, right? It does something to our hearts and minds and bodies. And it's up to you who you see in this picture. What do you need? What are you challenged by? Lastly, dear ones, I've been wanting to do this for months, but I've just been trying to figure out the best logistics for it. But I'm going to offer prayers for healing today at the end of the service. So when the service is done, I will be standing up here with some anointing oil, and if you have something on your mind or heart that you want to share, I'm happy to hold that with you and pray with you on it. Or if you just want to receive a little cross on your hand, that's okay too. Know that God hears your prayers and knows where you're at. But either way, dear ones, may you know that you do not wait alone. Keep on living by faith, for God is near. Amen. Thanks be to God.